Chapter 9, Aftershocks. Some 2.5 hours after leaving Barnstaple in Devon, Theo Conway and Ben Taban arrived at the main gate of DSTL Porton Down in Wiltshire. The facility is best known for its research into protection from chemical, biological, radiological and nuclear weapons and events. The pair's arrival was expected. The standard security procedures were waived. Their car was ushered discreetly straight through the barriers by the armed guard. They parked and took the secure briefcase from the boot before making their way to the DNA program office. The program leader was Professor Joanna Stark. She was a remarkable woman. She had the look and demeanour of a former athlete, and far from being a head-in-the-clouds academic, she was very purposeful and businesslike, as well as being a global authority on experimental medical ethics. She was also now privy to certain of the United Kingdom's most closely guarded secrets, and was personally acquainted with the heads of all the intelligence and security services. The DNA program was the most highly classified, security-sensitive, and close-hold activity she had ever been involved in. Since becoming aware of Henry's bizarre genome, many more aspects of it were troubling her conscience. "Come," she said when she heard the knock on her office door that announced the pair's arrival. They saw not only Professor Stark, but also their own chief, down from their London headquarters. He was standing by a window, cup of tea in hand. From their expressions, seeing him there was a complete surprise. Ivan Telling was a rugged, lean, good-looking man in his early 50s, although he looked 10 years younger. He was from patrician stock and was as readily urbane and charming as he was hard, uncompromising and ruthless. He had come to his present position as head of his organisation following an almost contrived route, Cambridge, Grenadier Guards, and a tour as a troop commander in the SAS, before being actively recruited into the intelligence and security services. There was, however, no hint of privilege about him or his career. He had worked hard and had excelled in every organisation and in every role that he had ever been given. He was seldom, if ever, without a sparkle in his eye or lost from a dry observation or comment. Occasionally laconic and sardonic, but always well-informed, witty, amusing, and perfectly timed. "Hello, Professor. Boss," said Theo, acknowledging them both in turn. Ben added his own greetings. "Ah, gentlemen, I understand you have a couple of vital jigsaw pieces," said the smiling Professor Stark.
"You could say that, ma'am," said Ben as he placed the case under her desk. "Maybe a bit more like two Rosetta Stones, I'd say."
He opened the case, took out the evidence bag and put it into the plastic tray that was waiting for it.
"Henry," Ivan asked in a flat tone that was most uncharacteristic and therefore hinted that something was bothering him or had displeased him.
Took it well, boss. He wasn't over keen to have Ben hang around to counsel him on what we'd already told him. I can't see him being soft and touchy-feely like that, so there was no point forcing his hand. He's very perceptive and there's no flies on him.
Our next approach to him will depend on the sequencing of his parents' DNA, of course. Hopefully our eyes down in Chivenor will be in place pretty sharply. That'll help."
"Overall, was he convinced?" Ivan said, concerned.
Well, we were on top of our brief as far as we could with the notice we had, and with the online research the two of us and the information support researchers had time for. And we had the advantage of having had eyes on the info, whereas he was cold. But you can bet from this evening he'll be on a big Neanderthal Google whack adventure. He'll see right through us then, I'm certain."
"On previous form, he'll be pushing for your job in a couple of weeks, Professor," added Ben, with a contrived smile that made it clear he did not mean it literally.
Ivan could not help smirking, while Professor Stark smiled back, looking unusually demure.
"I do hope not. My mortgage still has some years to run."
"Okay, chaps, that's the silver lining. Now the black cloud wrapped round it," Ivan said. "Colour Sergeant James Buck Ryan, Royal Marines," he added, enunciating each word clearly and deliberately slowly.
"What were the chances?" Theo cut in before Ivan can say anything else.
Doesn't matter. You see, it seems friend Ryan decided to disappear between him seeing you down in Chivenor and you seeing the two of us here in Porton. That is to say..." Ivan paused and widened his eyes to warn Theo Conway not to interrupt. "It had already happened before we could make it happen. So possibly seeing you triggered him,
I'm showing my age here, to do a Reggie Perrin. Who knows that he isn't floating off naked down the river Tor towards the Bristol Channel and a new life somewhere. Either that or, more likely, someone's lifted him. And if that's the case, then we've just opened what we thought might be a family-sized can of worms, only to find that it's actually a catering-sized can of King Cobras. Ryan's gone, Theo quizzed, sounding more insistent than was appropriate. Yes, Theo. Not there. Can't be found. He'd been home for lunch. He called in at Commando Logistics Regimental Headquarters between 1420 and 1435, and was due back from meeting at 1545, which he failed to make. A first for him, I'm told. Not at home but car on base. Him nowhere on base but wasn't seen leaving. Office like the captain's cabin on the Mary Celeste. Mobile phone off and untraceable. According to reports of his normal behaviour, all totally anonymous. He's gone, capital F, capital G, type, a gone. Ah, right, question, boss. Is there another service working Chivna, already watching Henry? Theo asked, chastened and shocked by his chief's reply. Well, that's two questions. Answer one, very likely, but I don't know which. Answer two, refer to my answer to question one. If there is somebody working there, it's to watch Henry. Well, the circumstances would apply that Henry saw Ryan, tried to acknowledge you, spoke to Ryan about it, and Ryan said something. One or both of them were being watched at the time, and the decision was made, well, just like we made it, that Ryan had to go. Go where, Ivan? Asked Professor Stark. Away, Joanna. Let's just hope that doesn't mean a darkened cell near Moscow or Beijing, or indeed Guantanamo Bay, for that matter. Her eyes widened in genuine horror. Ivan apologised. I didn't mean that's what has happened, or will happen. Organisation gallows humour. Sorry, Joanna. There was no way that either Theo Conway or Ben Taban would say what they wanted to say in front of Professor Stark, especially not in her own office, but both their faces wore serious four-letter expressions. I'm afraid that there's much more to this than I had ever imagined when the report came back from the sequencing of Henry's genome, she said. I'm not over keen to dip my toes too deeply into your world, frankly, Ivan. But Henry is very special, and whatever happens, his safety and well-being must be our collective top priority. They all nodded and murmured in agreement. I think the sooner we have Henry's parents' DNA sequenced and analysed, the better for everybody. And with that, Professor Stark made a call to have the samples collected. Thank you for seeing me at such short notice, Joanna, Ivan said, indicating he was ready to leave. That's quite all right, Ivan. I know that you're doing all you can to ensure that this work will be undertaken without unwelcome distractions. Well, I'm looking forward to congratulating you on your Nobel Prize for it, Joanna. Oh, I think our work will merely shine the spotlight onto where it should be going. If and when our work comes out into the open, that is. But I appreciate the sentiment, even if you are teasing. I am and I'm not in equal measure. He gave an enigmatic smile and then turned to Ben and Theo. Now, chaps, I think we ought to take our leave of Professor Stark and head back up to town. I flew down, but I let the chopper go. I'll travel with you two. We need to chat anyway, he said. And with that, the three left Joanna Stark's office and walked quickly to the car. Theo drove them out of the main gate, past the external car park and down Manor Farm Road. Ivan had been thinking hard. Once they were well on their way, he spoke from his seat in the back. Theo, your initial reflections, please. Well, Henry, something special. Mentally, emotionally, he's incredible. After a childhood like his, he could easily be a mess, but he's rock solid. Physically, you've seen the reports, I'll say no more. There's nothing obviously Neanderthal in his appearance at first sight, not to me anyway. There is something about him, though. I can't put my finger on it. My old man would have said he's got eyes like a shithouse rat. It's a backhanded compliment, obviously. And characteristically vulgar and charmless. Meaning? Ivan said. He doesn't miss a trick. He's observant, careful, astute, razor sharp, knowing. You should watch him. He can see through you, I'll swear. He must have known I was carrying. Ben was very convincing in his role. Me, I let my mask slip a couple of times. I think I recovered, but he might have thought I was a funny sort of doctor. I'll hold my hands up and admit I must have sounded a bit too rough around the edges when I nearly lost it with him. But like I said, I'm worried because once he's done his own research, he'll see the gaps in ours. I see, Ben? It's like Theo said, boss. I think he's even better than we think, because there's more to him than his reports say. I think he was taken in just. But if he thought Theo was carrying, then it had given me the eye and thought the same. And how many genuine government PTSD specialist psychiatrists come to a consultation with a concealed personal weapon? Theo, like he admitted, he came on a bit strong on occasions. Lost a few smooth edges for a few critical moments. But come on, we're all human, aren't we?
Well, it seems to me that the most human of the three of you was the one who's actually the least human and was the most Neanderthal. If your assessments of young Henry are correct, the best way to spend your time between now and our getting his dead parents' genome sequenced is to get yourselves over to the Earth Sciences Department at the Natural History Museum. You can get some proper education about Neanderthals there. Rather better than reading any more comic book stuff on the internet, I should say. By the way, I'll listen to the recordings of the sessions you had with Henry when I'm back in the office, he added. The two in the front nodded contritely and grimaced. They glanced sidelong at each other and shared the thought, the certainty, that the debrief on their performances might be more excruciating than reading the research material and case files. The Natural History Museum sounded like a good option for learning something from respected Neanderthal experts, while also keeping out of Ivan's way.
Boss, said Ben, I don't know if you caught this from your reading of the case file, because it didn't make it into the summaries and conclusion. We only noticed when we read it again between sessions with him. The analysis concludes unequivocally that Henry can be no more than 18 years old.
What?
Where does it say that? Came the incredulous and insistent response. I couldn't tell you the page location right now, but it's in there.
Oh, how did it not make it into the summaries and the conclusion? Oh, damn scientists. This is like assessing a gun at a crime scene and not mentioning the smoke curling out of the barrel when it's found because it's not part of the gun. So he's 18, pretending to be 20. Well, he looks at least like he's in his mid-20s and has the maturity, intelligence, insight and abilities of somebody my age and with all my experience. I think he's a particularly accomplished manipulative liar who's giving us all the runaround, or he has no idea who, or even what he is.
We've got a tale, said the CEO, suddenly sounding flat, dry and alert.
Call it in. Operation Tinwald protocols to apply, Ivan ordered. That's the last thing I need right now, especially if there are tag teams that cover us all the way to London. But I'd prefer the police to pull them over rather than us let them know that we've spotted them. We'll call in at Tidworth Garrison and get the chopper to come back down and take us up to town. Call in at Swindon Barracks, that's where the engineers are. But even if one knows he's going in, it'll be less suspicious if this car has gone from the engineer camp in Devon to the one there. But I'll get some decoys down on the chopper. They can take the car away later and give anybody waiting for us a run for their money.
Ivan turned his attention to pondering the significance of Henry's real age. Theo called in the details of the car, tailing them, using the operational codeword Tinwald. Its protocols would result in the occupants of the car being taken into custody and their vehicle impounded and subject to detailed, intrusive forensic investigation. The operations centre would know their location, speed and direction of travel from monitoring their car's tracker. They would ensure that a police traffic patrol and an armed response unit to be stood off unless called forward in support were dispatched immediately to an agreed intercept location. Being followed could end up being something or nothing. If it was part of something, their immediate problem might be solved, but there was a risk that the action might escalate tensions. It was vital to make sure that Henry didn't get pulled apart by finding himself between any of the organisations who might now be watching him, all waiting to pull him in their own direction.